Welcome to the Davis Fitness Method Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Davis. And on this show, we're talking everything health and fitness. Everything that we're talking about is going to be coming from research, case studies, and my own experience training clients in the gym, as well as the experience of our guests. Now, it's time to get started. So grab a notebook, take a seat, and get ready to have your mind blown. But seriously, we're getting started now. All right, guys, welcome back. Episode 4 of the Davis Fitness Method Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Davis. And today, I want to talk about my protocol for selecting exercises slash movements for myself and my clients. And so basically what that means is how I determine if an exercise is a good fit and if something would be a good fit in the long run, but we can't use it now. We have to make sure that you meet certain criteria before moving forward. So the basic prerequisite for being able to do an exercise is the ability to even get in the position to utilize that muscle. So that would be defined as mobility. An example of that might be, so if you wanted to squat, I'm going to use an extreme example here. Let's just say you had your grandmother wanting to squat, but she can't get down very far because she's fairly stiff. What you would need to do in order to strengthen that range is use the range that's available now. But then after we do that, we also need to improve her range of motion. So her ability to get down into a squat might not be great now, and maybe we're having her squat to a high box. But as we try to open up some range, be it through stretching and exercise, once we open up new range, we need to have the ability to maintain a good position. And what I'm going to refer to this as is stability. So basically, you want to be able to get into this new range of motion, and then you want to be able to maintain it. Now, there's a lot of things that go into these two, but then the next thing would be able to like kind of reinforce those positions and basically get to the point where you can create force through those positions. So not just able to get into them and able to maintain them, but to strengthen those positions. So when I'm looking at my clients, if at a certain time they're trying to use their shoulders and they wanted to do a shoulder press, but they struggle, they can get their arm over their head, but only through compensation by like arching their lower back and like really reaching up, and their arm gets up over their head, but their, you know, elbow isn't necessarily extending past their ears. This is a compensatory movement, and it's ultimately just going to put a lot of stress on different muscles, but not the ones that you necessarily intended to grow. So when I'm looking at somebody and I see compensatory movement, I know that we aren't getting access to the target muscle. So what you want to look at is you want to see somebody, and it should be pretty obvious that they can get into a position or not. A good indicator of this is when you're using an exercise that if it's causing you pain, chances are you're either not in the appropriate position or you started in the appropriate position, but you weren't able to maintain it. So right now, that just might be a mismatch for movement. To make this really clear, I think it's important to understand that although you may have a target muscle in a certain movement, you need to be able to keep the joint in a spot where you can keep the target on the muscle that you're trying to work. Right now, this probably sounds like a lot of words, but it is kind of a detailed protocol. But if you want to train your bicep and you go to do a bicep curl and you've picked a weight that was too heavy, you would initiate with your biceps into the curl, but then you might go and really kick your elbows up high and arch your back. And so basically, because you couldn't keep your core in a stiff position and because you couldn't keep your shoulder blades locked down, you had other muscles take over the movement. And what gave you this sense of completion was getting the exercise from point A to point B, which is like you started with the, you know, dumbbell or barbell down by your thighs and then you curled it up towards your face. But that's because you were looking at the point A, point B figure versus how you got there. So it's important that you keep very specific positions in movements when you're intended to use them. So if you were doing a dumbbell chest press, but the moment you go to do the dumbbell chest press, you're bringing the dumbbells down towards your chest and you're just failing to keep your scapula in one fixed spot. So as soon as the dumbbells get closer to your chest, if you noticed your shoulders started to rise and tip forward, this would be problematic because it's putting excessive shear on your shoulders, and now you're likely taking on more stress to the deltoid and triceps, and you're likely not putting as much stress on your pec, which was the intended mover. Now, that is a lot to kind of take in, but I think if we're going to summarize and make it really simple, it's okay. One, I can get into the position, and then two, I can keep the position through the entire movement. So even if it was, I can bring the dumbbells down to my chest, I can keep my shoulders down, but as soon as you go to exhibit force, your shoulders round forward or your elbows flare outward, you're basically seeing that you don't have control through that movement, and then you likely need to establish control. But we can use other movements while we're trying to create that stability, something that's going to be a little bit less risky to the joint while we're like training it all up. So if you're not able to keep your scap still on a bench press, you might switch to something that either requires less range of motion or something that requires just complete isolation of the pec. So maybe you go with a back supported cable fly. This would help you avoid going into ranges and causing instability at the joint. So you can keep the focus on the pec, and then we can use other movements to help create scapular stability while we're strengthening the pec. So if you're noticing that you're having a hard time now with a certain movement, there are workarounds. So if you're struggling with deadlifts, a lot of the time I'm seeing it's due to a lack of lat strength. A lot of the times people go to deadlift a bar and their shoulders get ripped away from them and their upper back rounds. That attachment from the lat to the lower back, or your thoracolumbar fascia, is actually working to keep tension in your lower back. So if it's getting ripped away because you're not able to stabilize that position, it's going to be problematic. So while you're trying to work up the deadlift from the floor, you might need to back off from that and choose a movement that's going to be more conducive to your current strength in your lats. And then we work up your lat strength alongside that. So maybe you switch to something like a dumbbell RDL, or maybe you go with like a trap bar on blocks. There are a lot of things that you could do to train your lats still in that hinge pattern while you're working to eventually get to the floor, if your goal is to deadlift from the floor, right? If it's not, if that's not what you're looking for based on your goals, then you don't need to like pull from the floor. But that's a whole nother conversation. But so basically, we have the mobility, stability, and strength portion of how we're selecting movements. But then there's also your goals. So if your goal was to build huge glutes, you would pick movements that would target the glutes, and I'm imagining require the least amount of complexity for the most amount of growth, until we get to a point where you need something more complex for more growth. But for the most part, you'll be able to milk simpler positions for a longer period of time because they'll be safer, and then you will be able to establish more stability and strength through those positions, and over time you grow and you grow. So an example of a fairly simple position would be like the hip thrust. It is a hinge pattern, but it is fairly simple, and it's not aggressive on your lower back, and it doesn't put you through a tremendous amount of muscle damage due to the fact that it doesn't have a huge stretch portion. You do come into a stretch, but it's not going to be nearly as deep a stretch as like a step up or an RDL. Those RDL being Romanian deadlift, those positions are going to have a lot more stretch, which would put more damage on the muscle. And then we want you to be able to train that muscle frequently. So although we do potentially want to create some damage, we don't want it to be so damaged that you wouldn't be able to train it again. So to summarize, you need to be able to get into the position that we need to train you in. You need to be able to maintain that position, and then you need to be able to create force through that position. And then finally, we need the exercises that we select to help reinforce or take you to your end goal, be it function, like how you want to move day to day based on your lifestyle, or how you want to perform in a sport, or how you just want to look in the mirror. And that's basically how I choose exercise. Now, there is a form of assessment that I go through when I'm looking at people. There's a joint by joint model that we're kind of taking a look at, you know, the shoulders. We want to see how your shoulder works through internal and external rotation, flexion and extension. Now, these are just like a bunch of things that we would take into account, but ultimately these are things that you should kind of be mindful of too, because if you notice that you have a deficit in a certain exercise, it's probably going to carry over to another. If you can't get your arm extended backward and then externally rotated, but then you're expecting to go low bar squat, again, that would be a mismatch, and it would ultimately likely result in some amount of elbow pain or discomfort down the road. Same thing if you're, you know, deadlifting and you're doing like a switch grip, and the hand that you are externally rotating with can't pull like flat and externally rotate all the way out and then flex the shoulder, you're going to see some problems coming down the road, which could potentially result in a bicep tear. But I know these things sound scary, but your job is to reinforce good position. It's only scary if you're working in positions that you shouldn't be training now because you haven't acquired the ability to get into that position and you haven't established the ability to maintain that position. And so I know it sounds like I'm beating a dead horse, but this is how I select my movements. We go through assessment, we check all those boxes, and then we get to work. So that gets me to the end of that. If you guys have any questions on this specifically, I'd love to go a little bit deeper. I could see this going into how do we establish an ability to get into a certain position, and then what are like techniques we could use to stabilize those things, and how can we best strengthen those positions. So that's all I've got for today. I'll see you guys on the next one. Thanks for listening. Please, if you can, take the time to subscribe and share it with your friends. Tag me on Insta, and I'll see you next time.